Hello and welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by the Front Range Toyota Stores. From your Front Range Toyota Store studios, my name is Tyler Mond. Pleased to be joined this week as we kick off fall sports season by the one and only Jack and Sheila Weinberg, head men's soccer coach at the University of Denver, Jamie Franks. Jamie, it's always so good to see you, man. And it always means when I see you that we are getting set for another school year. Summer's wrapping up, all that. You're ready to roll. How was the summer, and how are these last few days before getting into the season going?
Yeah, you know, for us, it's just the most exciting time of the year. It's why the student athletes do what they do, and they make the commitment to each other, to the team, to the greater good of the performance environment, all to prepare for these for these next couple weeks.
You guys are just a few days out, but you are coming off of a historic campaign that, for Pioneer soccer fans was just sort of the next step in the line of the standard that you've been able to create. And when you look back on last year, you know, obviously we're going to talk mostly about this season, but 15-3-5 last year, you make your first trip to the College Cup since 2016. It's been 8 months now. You end up falling in penalties to the eventual national champions in Vermont. But when you look back on what last season meant for you and your program, what stands out when you reflect on that?
I had the same thing, and I still just believes that this rings true, that I said to the guys right after the game when we were in Cary, is just we're not an outcome based business, and it's about the journey, and it's about all the experience that we learn through trial, through error. And for me, it was about guys redefining what it meant to be the starter. Now you have Sam Bassett, two-time All-American, almost won, the Herman Award. And, for us, there's a new standard of what that means. That means that he's the first guy in the locker room, the fittest player on the team. He's the one that, helps with restarts and, is gritty at the end of the games. And so I just felt like all those guys, they left it better when they found it. They came in with a real intent and purpose to win a national championship, got extremely close. And, it just kind of left the standard, the behaviors, everything higher, and they did that by example. So just really grateful for my relationships with those players, grateful for the experience that we had. It was such a fun season, and just excited to kind of run it back.
You know, you mentioned Sam Bassett, obviously he was with the Rapids now, Ian Smith with Portland, Ronan Wynn with Atlanta's second team. You see those guys among your six starters who graduated from last year's team. And, you know, for so long, you've talked about the culture and being process oriented and not results oriented. And when you're especially young and kind of starting out in that head coaching journey, you want to create that culture. You guys have established that culture so well. And when you look back at the success that you've had, you know, in the last 10 years, you're sixth in the country in wins, you're fifth in fewest losses. You've got nine NCAA tournament appearances. You made it two college cups now, most recently this past season. To know that that standard is so established, like you said, and it's kind of incumbent on the players now to just raise that bar. When you talk to guys who have graduated, I mean, maybe especially from your early teams, what does it mean to you to see that foundation that's been built and it's gone from something that, you know, you've projected and wanted to talk about to now something that exists?
Yeah, I mean, even before I was around, Bobby did a great job of laying foundation. Before that, Jeff Hooker and Chad, there's been so many people, so many alumni. Our alumni in the 70s came together and created an endowment for us, which is just so special. And, I think every decade the program has gotten closer to where it needs to go. And so I just feel immense pride knowing that we're doing it with American kids. If you're looking at a lot of the other rosters of my colleagues, it's a lot of international. For us, we're still recruiting juniors in high schools and seniors in high school. And our model is developmental. We're not going and just trying to go on the transfer portal and try to hit a quick home run. A lot of these teams are joining the season and they're going to have 10, 14, 15 new players. So for us, it's more about reloading. I felt like maybe the first time we went to the Final Four, I don't know if the systems and structures were in place to make sure that we could go back to one quicker, quick enough. And, that's my fault. And, I think that we've just really narrowed our focus into recruiting the right person for the University of Denver, somebody that wants to be a top student, wants to be a top athlete, wants to be treated as such. And I think over time, this would be my 14th season. We've just found a better understanding of who's going to do well in our community. Not just during their 4 or 5 year career here, but in the next 40 or 50 years, we're trying to produce leaders that are going to be good neighbors, good husbands, good fathers, good community leaders. And the city across our chest is a little bit different than other colleges. We were a city, and so just having immense pride in that, and just all the alumni knowing that we're trying to do it with integrity. We're trying to do it with excellence every single day, and we're trying to do it through people, through our development. So everybody that's come before has set an important foundation, for hopefully what we just continue to build upon.
You mentioned the city and the embrace that you guys felt from the city last year and from the community around DU and all that. You've got, crowds that had never been seen before at University of Denver Soccer Stadium. And to have that energy behind you and to propel you in the postseason and all of the things that come along with that, what did that mean to you? And what did that mean maybe more importantly to your guys last year?
It's family and friends. I think in college athletics it's getting a little bit blurred. And we're trying to keep it really pure in the sense that we're trying to develop people, and we're trying to develop people through sport. And I think a lot of the people that showed up to support us are people that have been around this community, understand what we're trying to do. Half the roster's from Colorado. So to watch these kids grow up, a lot of them were at Ball Boys the first time we went to the Final Four. So for them to be able to go back to a Final Four, just special. And this is a community where the next Air Force is close to us. Other than that, 8.5 hours to Creighton. And so for us, this is a soccer community out here. And knowing that all these players played at these local clubs in a grassroots effort, and to know their coaches, and to try to do clinics for them, to try to get our kids back out at elementary schools, reading, just back in the community. They showed up for us. And what was really cool is schools closed. To be able to have 2,500 people at a game without any students is it shows how much the community supports us, how much the community means to us. And ultimately I hope it's a reflection of the way that we feel about the community as well.
How much does that help build momentum for subsequent seasons? You mentioned, in 2016, maybe the structures weren't there necessarily to immediately capitalize on that. But it feels like with the adjustments that you make on the field in that manner, off the field, you get people out and they're excited about being there. They're excited about supporting your program. And to do that, like you said, when school's out and this is just a community fan-based center of support. Those fans are energized. How does that help with what comes the next season and the things you're able to build on?
Yeah, I think ultimately, being 110 and 10, I don't know the record. Nico will give us our home record. But it's a phenomenal home record, and that's just because the type of brand of soccer that we play. People come here to the University of Denver to play an attacking, possession, high pressing system. And so that comes with a lot of risk. We play out of the back a lot. We take risk in our own end to create risk in their end. And I think fans like that. Fans see that the ball's on the ground. Fans see that there's a tempo to what we play at. And so for us, it just gets the guys excited to play home, and helping them understand what a fortress it is. And playing at the Mile High City is special. And for our guys, it just become a huge highlight of their career. Can't thank the grounds crew enough. Santa, Nick, they just do an incredible job with our grounds crew, and it just becomes a really big highlight of their student athlete experience.
That home record, by the way, 107, 22, and 19, pretty amazing stuff. And of course, it gets started coming up this week. And that is our topic for segment number two. We're going to step aside for a quick timeout and bring it on back and preview this 2025 season as the Pioneers get rolling against the Washington Huskies August 21st at 7 o'clock. That is after the break with Pioneers head men's soccer coach Jamie Franks on this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. Back inside the Front Range Toyota Store studios, it is the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show as we get set for the kickoff of the 2025 Pioneer Men's Soccer season with the head coach of the Pioneers, Jamie Franks. Denver and Washington getting set to go. One of a slate that is difficult, as always, kicking things off with a couple of Power Four opponents right out of the gate. Washington on Thursday at home at University of Denver Soccer Stadium. Stanford on the road on Sunday in Northern California. Jamie, before we dive into the schedule and the particulars of getting this thing started, for this offseason, kind of a compressed time frame, what have the last couple weeks been like getting ready to roll it out for real?
Yeah, you know, for us, because we're developmental, you know, we're not meeting each other in August for the first time. You know, we've been building really since the end of last season. I thought playing all the way almost to Christmas, we started the second week of January. We were able to kind of keep the performance level at an extremely high level, just of intensity, of demand, of detail. And I thought we carried that through, you know, throughout the spring. And, you know, I think when our spring quarter ended in June, I felt like our guys made a really, really conscious effort to be around each other this summer. And because of that, you know, by the time that I actually got them in August, it was the fittest we've ever been. There's new records being broken on all these fitness tests. The team looks extremely sharp. We're further along in some capacities than I thought. I really believe the incoming players, their transition was better than ever. That's a really, really good sign. It's a sign of the leadership and how they're communicating. It's also a testament to the younger guys, how they're receiving that information. But just top to bottom, we felt like, hey, this was probably the most prepared we've ever been for a preseason. And it's just a total testament to those guys' efforts and commitments when nobody's watching. You know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so for these guys, they've been trying to replicate what training would be like without the staff. And they just did a tremendous job. You know, I know we graduate six starters, but I'm just telling you that the cupboard is not bare. There's all these big time leaders. There's all these guys before the last guy stepped up. You know, these guys are behind them. And so we're just excited to see the opportunity that's in front of these guys. And, you know, if their commitment and their connection and their ambition, you know, it is anything to kind of look forward to, it's going to be a really fun season.
For the guys you do have coming back, I mean, obviously, as we noted, you lost a lot of talent, but as you said, the cupboard isn't bare, because that's sort of a factor in how you guys have brought in and developed depth over the years. You've got 11 players back this year that started at least one game, five who have started 15 plus, and to have that as a luxury where you're not plugging in, like you said, you know, 18 newcomers to a roster. What have you liked about that continuity with this group and the way they've been able to take a step forward, you know, from where they started over the winter into the spring, and especially trying to build off of what last year left you with as a feeling of incredible accomplishment, but obviously a tough way for it to end. What about those lessons propels a group that has so much back this year?
It's a great question. I think first and foremost, like, every team is different. And so I was fortunate to go to three Final Fours as a player, and I joined the staff, you know, when we went to the fourth Final Four. And I thought when I was a student athlete or when I was a young coach, those teams tried to, like, replace the players. And you're not going to replace these players. They're people. They're not the same leaders. They're not the same players. They don't have the same skill set. So there could be fine. There could be similarities you know, behind it. But for us, it's really judging the season as its own. It's unique. And these leaders are unique. And even though the system of the play is very similar, the principles that we're going to go after might be a little bit changed because it built more to the skill sets of this team. And I just thought that last year, the guys did a great job in their leadership team, and the way that they made decisions and the way they communicated worked for them. And for this team, I felt like they're very much on board. They want to be all collective. They want it to be a consensus, you know, which could be good and bad. And so just figuring out how we're going to problem solve, how we're dealing with conflicts, you know, how they communicate with each other on the field, you know, who's responsible for what skill set, you know, works here. just massaging all that stuff out. And the thing I really like about this team, and my staff and I, we've been saying this and saying this and saying this. It's like, we don't need to be good enough to win the national championship Thursday. We just got to get a result against Washington. And we know that if we continue to work and really refine what we want to do, then we'll be a king at it by the time the end of the season. But if we keep kind of trying to be all these other things and somebody we're not, then we're not going to master the one or two things that we really want to be good at. And so I just have a real belief that the next guy's stepping up already. I have a real belief that the next leaders, the best version of themselves are near, and the new guys can play roles just like we always have. And so just for us as a team, for me as a coach, it's just understanding, hey, well, this is our strengths, these are our weaknesses, and this is gonna how we're gonna kind of go about it.
Let's talk about some of your key guys who are back this year. Isaac Nnamdi, one of the United Soccer goalkeepers to watch this season. That's an asset, obviously, to have because, like you said, a team that takes some risks sometimes in your own end. When you have trust in a goalkeeper like that, that is a pivotal thing to have. Trevor Wright takes over the captaincy this year from Ben Smith, who's moved on after graduating. And obviously, you add a couple of 50 years, or I guess have the experience added of additional time for Aiden Semmelsberger and Jake Smith. For some of those guys who are, like you said, expected to handle the mantle of leadership, but not necessarily be held to the exact same personality, the exact same style of people before them, what do you like most about specific experience that you've got from some of those guys?
Just that they understand that we're going to have to learn through experience, and then we're going to have to learn through failure. And I thought last year's team, the biggest regret we have about last year was that the guys were so tense and they wanted to do so well for each other that sometimes they came up a little bit short, as opposed to, hey, if this really is your best friend and these really guys are going to be friends with you for 40 years, you got to be okay with failing. And you got to be okay with understanding that it's your job as his friend to push him outside of his comfort zone, to hold him to a standard. And so what I like from those guys is I like that they saw that that was maybe something that could have been better last season. And them as leaders, they've been saying something that's like, it's today's problem. We're not going to solve it tomorrow. It's today. And I thought that's been really profound because they haven't let anything slide. They haven't let anything go. And so, what I see the most from them, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is they definitely want to have a more of a consensus. And so, from doing that, I feel like there's better listeners, and they're asking the right questions, and they're trying to get feedback. And so, my message to them always, I love it, is like, everybody's got a plan, boys, until we get hit in the face, until you get absolutely smoked in the punched in the face. And so I'm just excited. I think that they know that's happening. They've been around. You can say that, oh, what that we lost this many starters, but David Biggers and Holger Olsen, they're back, and they started last season. Semmels and Schmidty had to share a position, but they both played over 60 minutes, 55 minutes in a college cup game. If you really start to look at our lineup, you're looking at fourth year, fourth year, fifth year, fifth year, fifth year, fifth year, fourth year, fourth year. So, yeah, there's just a real sense of maturity about the group. There's a real purpose about them, and I'm just excited because this group knows that we don't have to be perfect. We're not going for perfect. There's no such thing as it. We just kind of need to continue to grow and get better each week, each game.
Well, and something that we talk about, year on year is how there's no warm-up period to get into a season for your team because you challenge them with these schedules right out of the gate. And the veteran piece is big when you host a Power Four opponent and then you travel to a Power Four opponent right out of the gates. And beyond that, just Washington and Stanford to kick off the season, the average RPI of your schedule is 54.5. You've got 10 NCAA tournament teams from a year ago. This schedule is heavy as it always is for your teams, but it's exciting because it provides a lot of opportunity, it feels like, for your teams, especially early on, to get those, that live action punch in the face moment where you realize, okay, we can respond to all this stuff.
I mean, we've been in the NCAA tournament now three or four times with no losses or one loss or two losses, and that's just not going to prepare you to win knockout football. To be the national champion, it's not about the best team, it's the one that survives. And so for us, it's just about, figuring out who we are. And, ultimately sometimes you do that by figuring out who you're not and, through trials and, tribulations. And just excited. I'm excited to play. I'm excited to have this group. We're not going for perfect. We're not trying to be like last year. We know we're going to make mistakes. And, in some ways I hope that they, play a little bit more free.
All right, Jamie, a couple more points for you, and then we'll get you out of here. But the interesting landscape that we exist in college sports right now changes. It feels like it used to be every decade or so, and now it's every year or every few months. The Summit League brings in two new programs in UMass and Delaware, and you saw UMass in the quarters last year. Delaware, a good program as well. What does it do for the conference to have another couple of, the challenge is a little bit different travel wise, maybe, but more good opponents in the conference this year?
It's a testament to their leadership at the Summit League. Josh has just done an incredible job making sure that they understand, soccer, it was the third ranked conference. It went Atlantic Coast Conference, Big Ten, and then us. We're right behind them. And we had felt that our top three or four teams have always been teams that are in the top, 30, 40 teams in college soccer, but our bottom was not. And just in the past couple of years, we've dropped our bottom four teams, and then added teams. And just can't commend the other head coaches in the conference. They believe in RPI. They believe in playing the best teams. They believe in going out and finding themselves. And I think it really stems from the head coach's ambition. So when the head coach has ambition, then they're going to go out and play teams. We're marketing the Summit League all over the country against anybody, any condition, any circumstance. And so like we're just really excited because what used to be you have to win the Summit League is now one of those where we know that like we can go and try to play these high RPI games. And I think for my staff and my student athletes, it was really frustrating to beat a team 4 or 5 nothing and then move down in the RPI,
Right.
9, 10, 11 spots. And last in 2023, we tied in the Summit League semifinal and we dropped from like 15 or 14 in the country to 31. That's tough. And that's just a big, that's on a tie, not a loss. And
Yeah.
so, we just feel like continuing to add more teams. Yeah, it makes it more challenging, but that's what makes it more fun. And that's what we're here to do, to challenge ourselves.
All right, Jamie, last point for you. It all starts on Thursday. And this is probably the most agonizing point of the year because it's so close. It's 3 days out, but you're not there yet. But like you said, you're not trying to win a national championship on Thursday at home against Washington or on Sunday on the road at Stanford. These first couple of matches, though, to get there and see your guys out there for the first time, for real, what are you most excited about for Thursday? What do you want to see most from your guys over these first couple of matches?
I just want to see a collectiveness for them to problem solve, a collectiveness for them when the game gets hard. Can they suffer together? Collectiveness for them, just making sure that they're aligned with like what is a good play and what's a bad play, or what is a critical moment and what's not. So just being like aligned and connected there. And the other part is like a belief. A bravery, a belief in our system of play. These two teams play drastically different than us. And that's why we're playing them. And we really feel like, it's a good test for us, but we got to believe in what we're doing because we're going to continue to do it. We're not going to change after game one. And so I just want to see the belief, the bravery, the collectiveness of the team, because you can write down exactly how you think the game is going to go. And I can promise you that it's not going to go that way. And so the space in between there, I'm just excited. I really believe in these guys. We could have went out and got all these kids on the transfer portal and went to go get all these foreign players, and we didn't. We really believe in what we do, and we believe in the next guy that's coming up is ready. And so, man, we're just ready to prove that.
Well, coming up on Thursday, the Pioneers get their first chance as a top five Denver squad will square off with Washington. That is a 7 p.m. start time at University of Denver Soccer Stadium under the lights for the first match of the year. The head coach of the Pioneers is Jamie Franks. Jamie, thanks so much as always for the time, man. Good luck on Thursday, and we'll be talking with you during the season.
Thank you. Please come out and support.
Head on out on Thursday to catch the Pioneers who can't make it this Thursday, next Thursday against San Diego, next Sunday against SIUE, and all of it gets rolling this week for Pioneer men's soccer. That's the head coach of the Pioneers, Jamie Franks. My name is Tyler Maughan, and this has been the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota Store Studios. We'll talk to you next time.